We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Let's flip to the other side of the football, Brian, for topic number two. And topic number two, and we were kind of deciding, okay, what do we want to talk about offensively today? And we kind of narrowed it down to tight end. And here's why. Sean and I talked about, or was it? No, it was Jesse and I, actually, in a rapid fire about how, you know, Notre Dame has had the most tight ends drafted into the NFL in like the last, however, you know, since the modern era, I believe is what it is, you know, and same thing with offensive linemen. So we had a talk about tight ends and offensive linemen, tight end U, O-line U, all these different things, right? Notre Dame is in a very interesting position right now, Brian, when it comes to tight end, because there's not a whole lot of availability for the tight ends right now in the spring. And This is a crucial time in offensive football at Notre Dame with bringing in Mike Denbrock and, you know, all of those different things. And there's a really, what we think is a really good wide receiving core. We got, you know, a really
least
good,
talented.
Yes. Correct.
Least talented. Yeah.
A very talented running back room, a talented quarterback room, all of these different things, right? What does that mean for the tight ends? And if there's not of a lot of, if there's not a lot of availability for these tight ends in the spring, what does that mean for Mike Denbrock and how he sees the, I mean, that's his room. He's the tight ends coach, but what does that mean when it comes to putting together an offense, and is Notre Dame going to be the tight end U that we've always seen them as? You know what I mean? This is kind of a turning point here for the tight ends, I think, at Notre Dame, just
potentially
because of the timing of everything, these injuries and all of it. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, to begin, Vince, obviously it's a turning point for the number one reason because of the change in scheme. And you're bringing in a coach in Mike Denbrock, who number one is a heavy 11 personnel guy. Yes. Now he's also a coach that's shown a willingness to, if his personnel dictates it, to be a much more 12 personnel driven coach. Right. I mean, so he's done that as well. And we saw that at Cincinnati, to be honest with you, in 2021, where he played two tight ends a ton. And so those are certainly things that he will consider doing. And by the way, to put into context the numbers, Notre Dame since 1967 has had 27 tight ends drafted. Penn State is next at number 22. The guys that are fourth are closer to the number two guy than the number two guy is to the number one team, yeah, which is Notre Dame.
Yes.
And then, you know, the teams tied for fifth have 16. So Iowa, Stanford, UCLA, Wisconsin all have 16.
Notre Dame almost double, which is
27. Penn State's at 22, Michigan's at 19, Georgia's at 18, USC's at 18, and then everybody else is 5 or fewer. So when you look at it, that's number one. Mike Denbrock will play to his team's strengths. So if the tight ends have a good spring and they play well and they can prove to be healthy, he'll have no problem going out and playing a lot of 12 personnel. And I pointed this out. I broke down all 9 of the Power 5 games that LSU played last year. I mean, and I did events by quarter, down. This is all the categories that I track: quarter, down, distance, hash, yard line, personnel grouping. Was it a 2x2 start or a 3x1 start or a 3x2 start, right? 2x2, whatever. I did that. I did the formation. I did the backfield alignment. I mean, it was a pistol off right, even right, off left, even left, empty, whatever. Motion, play type, run pass, play direction, target, result, and then there's 2 notes categories. And so I tracked all that, and I had LSU down in those 9 games for like 12 snaps of 12 personnel.
Wow.
Something like that. It was like real small. And why? Because they were loaded at receiver, tons of injuries at tight end.
Yeah.
So then you go back and break down the Notre Dame-Cincinnati game in 2021, and they were in 19 snaps of 12 personnel in that game alone.
In one game. Gotcha.
Right? So, again, it's he'll play to his team's strengths.
Right.
So that's number one. But what's happening right now with Mitchell Evans being out,
right?
He's out all spring. Who knows when he'll be back? You know, maybe it's fall camp. Maybe sure. It won't be till the first month of the season. You've got Eli Raridan's had multiple injuries. They talked about how he's been limited during the spring.
Yep.
Kevin Bauman's been hurt his entire career.
Yep.
And Cooper Flanagan, while he has some pass catching ability, is more of a blocker first, pass catcher second. At least so far. Now that could change, but that, again, that's why this is such a big period for those guys.
Right.
And then you have Jack Larson as a true freshman. So you've got all these receivers. You've got this loaded running back room and a coach who says, hey, look, if I don't have tight ends, I'm not going to force the issue. And not only did he do that at LSU, Vince, but we've seen him do that at Notre Dame. In 2015, Notre Dame's top pass catcher at tight end had 13 catches. Notre Dame's tight end room in 2015, because remember, Durham Smythe got hurt in the second game of the year. It was true freshman Alize Mack, Nick Wisher, and Durham Smythe. And then Durham Smythe was hurt. They had Chase Hounshaw. I think they had Tyler Luatua was on that team, but he was just a pure 100% blocker. That year, the tight ends only caught 20 passes all year. That's it.
Wow.
Because why? He had Will Fuller. He had Chris Brown. He had Amir Carlisle. He had Corey Robinson. He had CJ Procise out of the backfield. Like, so he didn't need to throw to the tight end. I'm not going to force the issue. Now, there were some clutch moments where tight ends made big plays. If you remember the comeback win over Temple, we all remember the touchdown pass to Will Fuller, but it was a corner route to Alize Mack backed up that got that offense, that drive going. So it's not that he doesn't value it, but I'm not going to force the issue to the tight end if my tight end's my fourth or fifth option, which in 2015 it was. Alize Mack was a good freshman, but you're not going to design ways to get him the ball over Will Fuller, Amir Carlisle, CJ Procise, or Chris Brown.
And that was a dynamic offense too, by the way.
Exactly.
So that's, you know,
and
the tight ends weren't a big part of it.
Both quarterbacks could also run. That's going to be snaps as well. So Mike Denbrock's thing is, if I got stud tight ends, I'll use them.
Yeah.
In 2022, we talked about this. I've given this data before. For those who haven't heard it before, I'll give it to you again. His tight ends last year at LSU didn't catch the ball a ton as a group, but Mason Taylor was used effectively. He was a little bit banged up last year, but he was a sophomore. He was their fourth leading receiver in yards and third leading receiver in catches, 36 catches for 348 yards. It's less than 10 per catch. The year before, as a true freshman, he was healthier. He had 38 catches for 414 yards, but the next tight end only had 5, and then the guy after that only had 2.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's over 40 catches. That's not bad. But it's not what we've seen at Notre Dame in a lot of years.
Right,
but then you go back to Cincinnati, and you had Josh Wiley caught 26 passes, Leonard Taylor caught 28. And then Leonard Taylor had 268 yards. Josh Wiley had 332 yards. They combined for 10 touchdowns. The year before that, Josh Wiley caught this. Remember, the year before that, they only played 10 games. It was the COVID year. It was the year before that. So in only 10 games, Josh Wiley was led the team in receiving yards. He was second in receptions. Leonard Taylor had 16 catches for 191 yards. Josh Wiley had 28 for 353. They combined for 7 touchdowns in 10 games. Bruno LaBelle was their number 3 tight end. He caught 10 passes and a touchdown. So back-to-back years where the tight ends combined for 10 touchdowns. Close to 10 touchdowns. If you project it out over the course of a normal regular season.
Right.
So 8 and 10 games gets them to 10 plus if they play a 13-game season based on that projection. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And then at LSU, they had, I think, caught like 1 or 2 tight end touchdowns last year. So why? It's because that's what the personnel dictated. Why did you see the tight end as led your team in receptions in 2020 and was fourth in 2021? Because in 2021, your receiving core broke out. You had Trey Tucker. You had Alec Pierce. You had Tyler Scott. You had Michael Young. And so he will play to his team's strengths. That's one thing Mike Denbrock has demonstrated from day one. And here's where the tight ends enter a very interesting period.
Yeah.
Because if they're all healthy and playing ball, you'd be a fool not to do some 12 personnel.
Agreed.
But I can't build my whole offense around that when I don't know that these guys are going to be answer the bell. Because Mitchell Evans, for all his talent, has never been able to be healthy for an entire season. The closest he came to that was as a true freshman when his snaps were a little bit limited.
Yeah.
He was hurt a big chunk of the 22 season. He was hurt a big chunk of the – I mean, he was hurt – remember, he was hurt coming into the season because he missed most of the spring, remember?
Right. Yeah.
And then – so he was late getting with the team during the season. Then he comes in, he starts dominating, and then he gets hurt again. So for all his talent, can you – it's like with Tyler Buchner. Maybe Tyler Buchner goes into 2023 and he balls out, and he's everything we hoped he would be. Maybe he gets hurt again in game two. You can't tell me, and anyone can get hurt, but you have to be smart about a track record.
Exactly.
And Kevin Bauman, I can't depend on him. The track record. Eli Raritan has loads of talent. He's probably the most physically gifted tight end they have.
And I don't know that it's all that close.
But in the last 2 years, he's had two torn ACL. His ACL has been torn twice, and you're going into his junior season, and you're limiting him in the spring.
Right.
Now, that could be strategic in that we know what he is. We have lots of film of him from last year when he came back. We want to make sure he's healthy for the fall. That's all fine and dandy, and that's smart. But this has given Jaden Greathouse and Jaden Harrison and Chris Mitchell and Cam Williams and Micah Gilbert and Jaden Thomas and Deion Colsey and all KK Smith, all these receivers, chances to play a ton of 11 personnel,
right?
And show if maybe this is what we need to be. And you got Jeremiah doing some cross training. Now, the cross training isn't to have him be a wide receiver, just so everyone's clear. It's so that they can use their 20 and 21 personnel, which is two backs, where in more broad ways than the traditional two-back offense, meaning
correct.
We can run him on routes. He knows pass concepts. He knows routes. He knows how to get off the line if they try to press him, all that kind of stuff. You need to give him that experience now. It's perfect time to – because, Vince, you and I know this. The easiest position to learn in football is running back.
Yep.
And not that it's – well, you can be a dummy and be around. It's just there's not a lot to it. You've got your initial steps and your read and
your track. And
a lot of it's just like, are you smart? Are you a good football player? Do you have instincts? There's not
to it. Dude, I'm telling you, sometimes coaching running backs is – okay, you're coaching them until the ball is in their gut. Once the ball is in their gut, you kind of let your guy do his thing.
Right.
If it's a good running back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you'll drill things. Like
sure,
I drilled
of course.
Running the chair on outside zone, you know, bounce, and cut back. Mm. But it's let him take over. Now, where the heavy coaching happens at running back is more like pass pro and things like that, right? Which is – that's where you know the difference between the best running back coaches and the guys that aren't is those little things. But it's nothing like what receivers have to learn.
Correct.
Or offensive linemen or quarterbacks. It just – and I'm in one of my best career accomplishments was I coached an All-American running back. So it's like, I'm telling you, it's my first year as a full-time coach. My teach the technique, teach the tracks, teach pass pro. Yeah. Once the ball's in her hands, leave them alone.
Correct.
That was the best lesson I was told by Corey Goff, who was the offensive coordinator at Muhlenberg that year. It's like, look, we're going to timing is super important. That comes from footwork. Keep them on their track. Let them know, make sure they know what the read is. Those things you had to teach. But once Matt and Mike Matt Bernardo was my All-American. Mike Markerbrad would have been the best running back in that league if it wasn't for Matt Bernardo being in front of him. You know, I had a kid named Matt McCurley. You know, we were loaded that year at running back. But it was just kind of like, once they get the ball, leave them alone. You know, now if they make bad reads, you correct it and you show more film, but there has to be some freedom of movement there. So Jeremiah knows how to do all that. You know, you're still going to practice a running back, still going to practice pass pro.
Of course, yeah.
But now it's about we need to train him now for this so that way we're not throwing it on him in the fall.
Yep, because that's what spring's for.
Right.
Spring is for, and I don't even want to call this experimentation because it's not experimentation, but
it kind of is.
Yeah, I mean, this is when you do stuff like that to see if, look, they could put him out there. And it doesn't work, okay? I'm not saying that's the case, but they could. And let's say it doesn't work. That's what spring is for. It's for trying out some stuff.
Because you believe it'll work.
Yes, exactly.
Try it now instead of waiting until...
And wasting valuable fall reps. In
the week of Louisville, and then you can't do it.
Right, you know? Exactly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What if it goes really well? And you're just like, dude, if I'm talking about, like, here's what good coaches do. You sit there and you say, okay, who are our playmakers? Who are the guys that we have to figure out ways to get the ball to them every week? There's a really good chance that the first two names out of the coaching staff's mouth in the fall is some combination of Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price.
Yeah.
So you're going to tell me I'm going to play a second tight end more than I'm going to play my second running back? If I have uncertainty about the tight ends, but I've got these two horses in the backfield, and Jaden Greathouse is balling out in the slot, and Chris Mitchell's making – you see what I'm saying? So, like, this is a super important period of time for this group of tight ends, because if it could impact how they start recruiting moving forward, they're already kind of doing that. There's a reason Notre Dame's only taking one tight end, because Mike Denbrock's – this is what I believe. I haven't been told this, but this is what I believe to be true. Kind of reading between the lines of what I have been told is we don't need to have 6-7 tight ends on the roster anymore. Because if we got 3 or 4 healthy tight ends, that's plenty
right
to run this offense, 11 personnel offense. You know what I mean?
That opens up scholarships for other positions though too.
Right. Because you have four tight ends, only 3 healthy tight ends, and you're a 12 personnel team, you're thin.
Right.
But if you have 3 healthy tight ends and you're an 11-20 personnel, 20-21 personnel, so 20 personnel is 2 backs, no tight ends, 0 3 receivers.
Yeah.
That might be my favorite personnel grouping when I was a coach. It's a little different now because we'd have a fullback. And so we do a lot. And remember, Florida State ran this a ton back in the day. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Where
they'd have 3 receivers, a fullback, William Floyd, and then a running back, and they'd do that shotgun where the backs are split and you have 3 receivers. That's 20 personnel. 21 personnel is 2 backs, 1 tight end, 2 receivers. And then 11 personnel is 1 back, 1 tight end, 3 receivers. 12 personnel, which Notre Dame did a lot in the past, is 1 back, 2 tight ends, 2 receivers. And they also did a lot of 13 personnel, 1 back, 3 tight ends. Tommy Rees loved 13 personnel. I mean, he ran that more than – and that's not a knock. It's just an observation. I mean, it worked at times. It worked incredibly well. It was great against Clemson last year when they went 12-13 personnel. But the point is, you need 5 minimum healthy tight ends to really run that effectively for an entire season, and which means you need to have 6 or 7 on the roster. So Notre Dame's in this unique position where we only really need 3 healthy tight ends. 4 is ideal, which means we only really need 5 on the roster. So you're now in a position where you're basically recruiting 1 tight end a year.
Right.
And Notre Dame's got a kid also, Vince, and you'll see him tomorrow at practice. But Henry Garrity's a kid that I think could be a depth player for Notre Dame in the future.
Hmm.
That's a good football player. I mean, you know, he's the kid that had MAC offers and a lot of people, his offer list didn't grow the way it should have because everyone just assumed he was going to go Notre Dame as a walk-on.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Right. But he had legit MAC offer. He's a good football player, meaning, hey, if I have 4 scholarship players and Henry Garrity in 2 years, I'm good.
Yeah.
We're good. We don't, you know what I mean? So that's going to impact the scholarship numbers. And so
sure.
If this becomes a situation where the receivers and the running backs and all this stuff kind of in the Notre Dame family situation where it's like, hey, we're going to play some 12 personnel. And there were times last year that not having 12 personnel hurt Mike Denbrock because he didn't have a second tight end. So you'd see Brian Thomas or Kyron Lacy at the 2-yard line, kind of come in and like just line up on the edge and try to get somebody's way on the backside.
Take out a linebacker of some sort or a defensive end or something.
Just slow down this defensive end as best you can. And then there were times they'd have to put like an offensive lineman there because it's just like we don't have another tight end. And so he will – that won't be an issue in Notre Dame. I think you'll see more of that 12 personnel stuff in those type of situations, but it's like I don't need to have that part of my base offense as much. If they don't prove themselves capable of playing at a high level, right? And that's what I'm talking about, Vince, is Mike Denbrock proved if I got Will Fuller and Corey Robinson and Chris Brown and Amir Carlisle and CJ Procise, guess what? I'm not going to put my second tight end on the field because he's not as good as those guys.
Right.
As pass game weapons. And that's the thing that has, in my opinion, has somewhat – what's the biggest complaint you and I had since OGs, right, since we started doing shows in 2020? What's the biggest complaint you and I have had about the tight end room? I got no problem with 12 personnel. When you have Tommy Tremble and Brock – I mean, Notre Dame's third tight end in 2020 – just got a $4 million a year contract in the National Football
League. Yeah, Brock Wright, right?
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't pan out. Yeah, he did. He just had better dudes in front of him. That happens sometimes.
He Brock was a starter in his first year in the NFL.
What you and I complained about was you've got these kids, you just bring in your number two and number three and you just let them block. Brock Wright did not catch the ball because he couldn't catch the ball. He didn't catch the ball because he was never number one and they only ever threw to number one. That's a mistake because as a defensive coordinator, it's easier for me to defend you when I know you're only going to have four viable pass game options, not five. And when they went 13 personnel, you only have three. And the way that Tommy Rees used the running backs, you really only have two, right? Because they were just check down weapons in like 21 and 22. And so that's when he would use the running back in that situation. Like I think of the Chris Tyree against Cal, Audric Estime and Logan Diggs against North Carolina, when he would use them that way. Remember that wheel route he designed against North Carolina? Great play call.
Yep.
We never see anything like that again all year. That was the frustration. We see those little quick seam routes from the back or the angle routes early season, killing people. Later in the year, they're not to be seen. And then they brought it back for Navy. Guess what happens? Boom, Audric catches it, 20-30 yard touchdown run. Yeah. So that was a frustration is when you're in those looks, if you're not throwing to the number two and throwing to number three tight end, then you're making it easier for the defense to defend you. Mike Denbrock's philosophy is if I'm going to have a dude on the field that's a skill player, he better be a weapon in all phases of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he had two tight ends in Cincinnati, Josh Wiley and Leonard Taylor, they were both legitimate pass game weapons. And so, like, even though one guy was a better blocker than the other guy, they didn't bring those guys in and say, hey, you're just going to catch the ball. So you had a year where they, you know, one guy caught 26 and one guy caught 28. Another year guy caught 28 and the other guy caught 16 in a 10-game season. And so when you see those type of things, you're like, hey, this is going to be impactful. And that's where Notre Dame has to get to, Vince, is the point where if they're going to be in 12 personnel, you better make sure that your weapons are being utilized in that. And we didn't always see that in the past. So
it's frustrating. That's,
right. So under Jared Parker, you know, under Tommy Rees, you were going to see 12 personnel no matter what, whether they were weapons or not. You were just going to see it. Moving forward in this and under this regime with Mike Denbrock, his whole thing is, hey, if you're not going to be a pass game weapon, then I'm not going to play a lot of 12 personnel. I'll have that guy be a blocker and, you know, and those type of things, or we'll just go 11 a lot more.
Yeah.
That's what they'll do. And you could also go 10 in certain, I mean, and they did that a little bit at LSU, not a ton, because he likes to have that tight end as a potential blocker. Plus Mason Taylor's a pretty good pass catcher. So moral of the story, Vince, Mike Denbrock's not going to force the issue with 12 personnel.
Right.
And if these guys can't stay healthy or don't produce in the pass game this spring, then that's almost going to say, hey, look, days of 12 personnel being a dominant formation are gone. However, if they're able to prove themselves, so Cooper Flanagan proven he's a legit pass game weapon, Eli Raritan shown that he's a legit pass game weapon that can stay healthy, now all of a sudden 12 personnel becomes a formation where maybe you only use it 10, 12 times a game, but when it's in there,
but they're
it's
impactful
run game advantages, but I can catch you with some stuff.
Right. They're impactful. You know?
Yeah. It may be a heavy run personnel. I may only throw to that number two tight end once a game, but that once a game is going to be a motion wheel route for a 40-yard gain.
Right.
You know, those type of things. And that's where you really want to be. And that's what I'm excited about. And I think that ultimately could be better for the tight end room. Because now, if you're the number two tight end, you just know I'm a blocker. Right? I mean, that's just the reality of it. I'm just going to block. That's why George Takacs left. I'm going to be the number two tight end next year, but it means I'm not going to get the football.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to come in a block. I want to do both. Well, now it's like, dude, if we're playing 12 personnel, you're going to get the ball.
Right.
And I'm excited to see more of that. But again, that's a lot of pressure on the tight ends, Vince. So y'all better show you can stay healthy.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Show you can make plays. Otherwise, I got no problem going 20 personnel, 21 personnel, 11 personnel, and doing it that way. None at all.
And I'm just not sure that they're even going to be at a place health-wise to make that case in the spring. I just, you know, based on the way everything's at, based on, you know, that's going to be tough.
Can I tell you something, Vince? I'm going to push back on that a little bit.
Okay.
Because I actually think the lack of health for Mitchell Evans creates an even greater opportunity for Cooper and Eli to a degree, and Jack Larson, because they're going to get more reps. And for all we know, there may be purposely holding Eli back when we're there.
That's fair.
For all we know.
Yeah, no, that's a fair statement.
And so I'm not saying that's true. I haven't been told that. I'm just, look, this is who they are. This is just kind of how they play. This is how football coaches are, man. And so to your point, if Eli's being withheld a little bit and they're really only playing two tight ends, he's still going to get the same number of reps he would have been if they were playing two, three tight ends and more heavy stuff.
Right.
But however many reps he's getting, let's say instead of getting 40 team and 7-on-7 reps, he's only getting 15. That's still opportunities for him to show I'm a pass game weapon. Use me.
Right.
Same thing with Cooper Flanagan. And it's just especially a big spring for Cooper because Cooper's getting a ton of first team reps this spring. And he's got to be able to show that I'm not just a blocker. I can make plays in the pass game. Well, he caught that one ball against Pitt. Guys, I don't care what guys do against backups. I don't care. Now, I like Cooper Flanagan. I graded him out as a 4-star, top 250 kid. I think he's got the potential to be a better pass catcher than he has shown. In high school, that's just not he comes from a wing T kind of offense at De La Salle. They're not going to throw to the tight end much. Doesn't mean he can't do it. Just means they didn't use him for it. But he's got to show that he can be that guy. And so I think for Cooper especially, because Cooper has the best chance at to me kind of establishing himself over the next few years as a must play guy, because he's so potentially could be so good in the run game.
Yeah.
But it's going to be limiting if he's that way and he's not a legitimate threat in the pass game. Even if threat means I'm a beast on option routes and crossing routes where I'm a chain mover. I'm not saying he has to be in a 15, you know, yards per catch guy that can stretch the field. It's just like, dude, when I need to go to you, you can make a play. On 3rd and 5, I know that you're going to get open and make this play. I know that in the red zone, I'm going to get you this corner route. We're going to high point that sucker, and you're going to use every ounce of your 6'6 frame with long arms to go get this football. That's what it means. And so, you know, it's a big spring for all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're no longer competing with themselves, Vince. They're now competing against the slot receivers and the second running back. That's the same. This spring competition isn't Mitchell versus Eli versus
which is what it used to be
versus Jack Larson. Now
what it used to be, yeah.
Right now it's I'm competing against Jaden Greathouse and Jordan Faison and Jaden Harrison too. Because if the slot receivers are better than the second tight end, then guess what? We're playing a lot of 11 personnel.
Right.
I'm competing against Jeremiah Love, because if Jeremiah Love's better than our number two tight end as a playmaker, then I'm going to find more ways to get 21 personnel on the field. Then even worst case scenario, if Jeremiah Love and my slot receiver are better than my number one tight end,
20.
I'm going 20.
Yep.
Now, 20 is a very limiting personnel group because you can't run a ton out of it in base downs because you have no tight end, you have no way of sealing all the gaps, but it's certainly something you can do as a change of pace, Vince, because 20 when Florida State would do it, they had a true fullback on the field.
Right.
So they could block the edge. They could use him to lead block.
There's essentially a tight end in the backfield.
Right.
Right.
But if you're pure 20 personnel with Jeremiah Love, you're essentially in 10 personnel group, which means there's things you can do run game wise. I can run read zones. I can run some jets, but it's a little bit limiting on, you know, you're not going to be a heavy first and 10 run team
right
out of 20. But if I'm going to use it 8-10 times a game, that's cutting away from my tight end snaps. And so again, that's a big place to be. Having said that, Vince, this is a great conversation for Notre Dame, because we're not saying Notre Dame doesn't have good players at tight end and they've got to step up and show themselves, or Notre Dame's going to be in trouble because they don't have good players. It's no, these are good football players. They've got to prove that they're healthy and can go make plays right in the pass game, because they also have really good football players in the slot. They also have really good football players at Z. They also have really good football players at running back, where in the past it was like you had one running back that was good and maybe one receiver is good and some other complimentary players, and you had four great tight ends.
Right.
Now it's like, yeah, you're still pretty flipping good at tight end.
Yep.
I mean, if we were just doing a tight end preview, Mitchell Evans and Cooper Flanagan and Eli Raridan and Jack Larson and Henry Garrity is a depth chart that a lot of teams would love to have.
Absolutely.
Love to have. If they can stay healthy, that's the big question. But you're finally in a situation where you have legitimate slots and legitimate number two running backs, or even number one running back that can be used with a 1A, 1B, where these guys are legitimate pass game weapons that make it harder for us to justify playing a lot of 12 personnel. That's the difference. And so, like, in 2020, are you better off having Avery Davis on the field or Tommy Tremble on the field or Brock Wright on the field? That was a legitimate conversation. In 2021, same thing. Now it's more of like, it's a different deal.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how I can justify not having Jade Greathouse on the field more. I don't know how I can justify not finding more ways to get Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price on the field together. I got to do it. And it's going to be at the expense of somebody.
Correct. It'll be at the expense of the tight end room for sure.
Potentially. But here's the thing with Jeremiah Love. He gives you some really interesting 22 personnel looks. You know what I mean? Where I go, sure. I go my ace formation with two tight ends and still two receivers and move my tight end around because I got Jeremiah as my Z and I got my X on the field. And now, you know, I got Jeremiah outside, because you went to your base defense because we're now in 22 personnel. So we got two backs and two tight ends on the field. You have to respond accordingly, because if you keep in your nickel defense or you keep in a smaller base defense, I'm going to run it down your throat.
Yep.
But if you go more of a big look, a matchup look to that, I can easily put Jeremiah outside and do a lot of stuff with him run game motion-wise, but also throwing the ball-wise. And the type of tight ends that Notre Dame has, if it's Eli Raridan, Mitchell Evans, Jeremiah Love, Jadarian Price in the backfield, and let's say Jaden Thomas, Jaden Greathouse, Bo Collins, whoever's at the boundary receiver, those are still five legit pass game weapons. And that's when you start getting real dangerous. And so, but again, it's I gotta make sure I'm getting four the football. I gotta make sure I'm getting 24 the football. I'm making sure I'm getting 19 the football. Those are going to take precedence over creating snaps for 87 or 9 or even 88 if they're not raising their game. So it's exciting, Vince, because you hope that that kind of competition raises the bar for everyone. And that's what the great teams have. That's why Bama is the way Bama is. That's why Georgia is becoming that way. That's why USC was that way. Because, like, hey, man, if you're my number three linebacker and you don't want to bring it, and I got this lockdown nickel dude that's a great tackler. Like, Thomas Harper was really good in the slot last year as a run defender and a blitzer. So it's like,
don't need a rover.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have to go to a rover. So now I'm playing Jack because I want to use Jack. And then you could use Jack inside to rotate with those other two guys at times as well. But if I didn't have that kind of guy and I had to go to my rover in base downs because my nickel couldn't block or tackle, then that limits me. And so that's where, you better raise your game because I got this guy over here that wants to play. And in the past, you were just competing with your position.
Yeah.
But now you're competing with other positions, and that's crazy. A great place to be, man.
Crazy. Before we move on to segment number Trace, make sure you hit that like button, subscribe, hit the notification bell, share with your family and friends. And then when it downloads onto your phone, hit that play button. Just let it play through a little bit. We'd really appreciate that with the way things are going these days and the way they're changing everything. Hit that play button because, you know, you want to hear it. You want to hear it.